May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Inner peace from Philippians chapter 4, our epistle lesson. Years ago, Ann Landers, the advice columnist, used to get 10,000 letters a month. And she was asked, what is the number one problem in America? Can you guess what it is? She said the number one concern of most people in America is anxiety. Think she was right? People afraid of losing their health, losing their job, their wealth, a loved one, people afraid of life itself. I don't think anything has changed. I think anxiety is the number one problem. Worry is the problem among people today. It may have different degrees, but it's still number one. We're anxious. Then here comes our scripture for this morning. And what does it say? Do not be anxious about anything. Well, how in the world are we supposed to do that? You know, if I get in front of you and you're worried about something, I say, stop worrying. Then you're worried about what I might think of you. You know, I mean, it just... Now, before we dig into the scripture for this morning, and it's a powerful scripture, what is the secular or non-Christian approach to obtaining peace in your life? We can go all the way back to the ancient Greeks and to the Stoic philosophy. Their answer, contentment, andraki, a peace was achieved by only loving or caring what you could control. That was their answer. You can't love success because you can't control whether you'll be successful. You can't love your family because someone in that family might disappoint you. How well we know you can't control your family, right? Same with friends. You can't love your friends because they could disappoint you. Not in your control. And the list goes on. Don't give your heart to anything you can't control. So what was their answer? Well, their answer was set your heart and love your own virtues. You can control that, they said. How terribly wrong they were. They knew nothing about original sin. They didn't know God. They didn't know the true state of their being. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth isn't in you. They deceive themselves. So let's jump up to our current day and time. You know, we see these images. Of course, they're fictional, but still, we see these images of the super confident Marlboro Man, James Bond, Jason Bourne, Ethan Hunt, Wonder Woman, right? We see all these images, and under tremendous pressure, they're calm. We can take care of this. We can handle this, right? And this is an image that people have of what they would like to be, calm under every circumstances. And we have the super successful entrepreneur. We have the ultra-cool actor like a George Clooney. And we have gang leaders even who exude this coolness, this confidence. It looks like nothing bothers them. Externally, they look like they have peace. And it's achieved through cynicism. Counterfeit peace. In other words, they don't care. They have a hardened heart. They don't give a flip about things, right? Externally, they look like they have peace. It's not as it appears to be. You may say, well, some of those people aren't cynical. Oh, yeah. You don't see it. They are. Now, let's head to the self-help section of our bookstores. Books about achieving peace will never ever go to the big questions. Who am I? What is life all about? That is the very underlying reasons why we don't have any peace. But instead, they immediately go to technique, such as relaxation techniques, rest and work strategies. And they will tell you to expel all negative thoughts, almost like saying, don't face facts, don't face reality. All these things are like putting on a Band-Aid on a major wound. They never get to the heart of the problem. Ultimately, they don't work. Well, now let's look at God's Word. The Apostle Paul is writing these words about rejoicing the Lord always and exhorting us not to be anxious about anything. But Paul wrote this letter when he was in prison, in chains, literally on death row, awaiting his sentence. How in the world could he be writing these things? Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Have peace. Don't worry about anything. When he was experiencing just terrible things. This was no Pollyanna denial of reality or facts. In fact, note this well. The scriptures never, never advise us to put our head in the sand and deny the reality of our situation. Never tells us to do that. Paul says elsewhere that he found a way in Christ to be poised in every situation, even as he faced torture, which he experienced in death. The word anxious here literally means being torn apart, being torn apart, a debilitating fear. It doesn't mean we shouldn't have concerns. Like Paul says, he had concerns for the churches he founded, that concern that false prophets might come in and wreck the churches. He had concerns for his partners, especially like young Timothy. He had concerns for them. How do we not get paralyzed by debilitating fear? Paul's remedy, right there in the scripture, Paul's remedy. But in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Then the peace of God will descend upon you. Did you listen to that? I mean, when you heard it read, and there's something very different, very strange. Listen again. But in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God. What's interesting to me is usually we give thanks after our requests have been answered. Not before we give thanksgiving, before they've been answered. No, it says, as we make our requests, give thanks. Give thanks before they're answered. Do you believe there's a God? Do you believe He knows everything? Do you believe that He can do anything? Do you believe that He sent His Son Jesus Christ in the world because He loves you? And that Jesus took all the sins, your sins, upon Himself? And if you believe in Him, you are called a child of God? And that our Father wants every good thing to happen to you? That He always has your best in mind? Do you believe that? Well, we are thanking Him in advance for whatever He's going to do, because whatever He's going to do is going to be good for you. That's why we thank Him in advance. We trust a wise and loving God and are confident in His control over our lives. Our lives are a tapestry, aren't they? If you look at your life, you would say, I have some good things, and I have some bad things in my life, right? Is that everybody? But if we knew what He knew, and we would see what He sees, even the bad things can work for our good. He makes it that way. The peace of God, which can't be fully comprehended, will guard your hearts and your minds. That word guard has a military connotation. It's like an army of angels are around you, right? To protect you, to protect your inner self. So let's take up some practical considerations then. The verses in our text today in the Philippians is followed by an enjoinder to think about certain things. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, we are to think upon these things. In other words, we're to think about Christian doctrine, Christian teaching, because they are the most right and noble and purest things we could think about. Now, don't be scared about that word doctrine, because that's just another word for teaching of what the Bible teaches us. We are to drill down, ponder these truths that have been revealed to us. If someone comes to me and says, I'm being overwhelmed by anxiety, Pastor, what can I do? You know what I would do? I'd give them this advice. I would say, get into a Bible study. Read your Bible. Learn Christian doctrine. Find out what the basic truths. And if you do that, it'll make your heart soar with joy and hope. Ponder what Christ has given you. What peace He will bring you. Come to learn doctrine. The teachings of God. Secondly, I would remind them, as a child of God now, a beloved child of God, that they have three enemies now. Three enemies, the big three. The enemies are the world, our flesh, that is our own desires, and Satan. And these enemies work in tandem, and they have one goal and one call only. And that is to destroy the assurance of your salvation and the love of God that He has for you. They want to wipe that out. Basically, they would have you look more at your sins than at your Savior. More at your sins than at your Savior. On this score, I would remind you that your feelings are the result of your salvation, not the basis of it. Now, that's a big concept here, but it's an important one. Feelings are the result of your salvation, not the basis of it. So when Satan comes at you as a prosecuting attorney, that's what he is. He's an evil attorney, right? He comes at you, prosecuting you and accusing you when you have done some sinful deed or thought an evil thought, he will come to you and he says, and you call yourself a Christian. You're not a Christian. Huh? Or you may say to yourself, the flesh here, you ought to be a better Christian by now. You haven't grown at all. You're still doing the same things you used to do. Accusations. You can't even manage your feelings. Remember, the enemies, your enemies, want to take the gospel away from you. The gospel of Jesus Christ that said you're special in His eyes. That Jesus came for you. In fact, these enemies want you to think that salvation is yours to achieve. It's in your control. They want you to fall back to a work righteousness that somehow you can be good enough to earn your salvation. That it's in your control. We know it's not. No, inner peace is to be had when we fend off these enemies, once again know what God has done for us. Finally, a lot of us are worried about being worried. Why is it I'm a believer in Christ and I still periodically and overcome by anxiety. Why is that? So we're upset about being upset. We're down about us being down, right? Well, I want to tell you this. All the great Christians I have read about, the biographies that I've read, all the great Christians have had periods of anxiety and depression, despondency. All of them, right? So take our namesake here, Martin Luther. Many of you already know this. He had periods of darkest depression where he was down. It was so bad one time that his wife, Katie, came to him and said, "Did you hear God died?" And he said, "You're talking like a crazy woman. God hasn't died." "Oh, I wouldn't have known that by looking at you," right? Mother Teresa, you know that one in Calcutta, she revealed in her book she had great doubts, despondency, worry, anxiety. But it's all the great Christians, all the great Christians. And yes, I've had it at times. I've had anxiety. I've had worry that overcame me. I look back at those and I said, what was I worried about? But it's not over. They come upon me at times. So I'm probably like all of you, right? Anxiety and worry comes upon me. But I've come to this conclusion, and I hope you share it with me. Jesus knows me. He knows me in here. Jesus loves me. He knows that we will fall into pits along the way. He forgives me. He helps me. He sends the Spirit to comfort me and restore me to confidence in the promises of Jesus. This is what I conclude about having peace in your life. Perfect tranquility we're never going to have in this world, not this side of heaven. But here's what I conclude. But God is good, and His peace comes to those who seek it from Him. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Please rise. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.